This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Yeah. Hi, we're complete now. We have Don with us. Hi, Donnie.
Hi. How's everybody doing? All right?
Everything good?
Oh, everything's great. Just a GI bug for Marco.
Oh, Marco's feeling under the weather.
Yeah, so we unfortunately, the only appointment I can get was 1:45. We were in and out pretty quick. He got a little COVID test. Why not?
You got to.
And it figures. As soon as Nancy put the phone down after making the appointment, he perked up. So you're trying to explain to the doctor he's not feeling well, and yet he's, you know, climbing all over the wall. So it's crazy, but that's the way it goes. But hopefully everything will be all right, because it's a big weekend, you know. Got Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to get the Easter Bunny sick.
No, that would be terrible. Terrible. Now, the lines are jammed. People want to talk, but I do want to bring this up. I don't even know if Peter's aware of it, but there's a host in Cleveland that, I mean, blatantly try to steal Don's act. Did you hear this, Pete?
You know, can I hear this?
This is Bruce Dremen on Sports Time Ohio. So I think it's a cable-based show, but it's like a radio show. So,
well, he was on TV, definitely.
Right. So it's like our simulcast, but without the radio component. I just think it's a show on TV. So here is Bruce Dremen trying to channel Don.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitches down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles, he hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show, fair weather idiot.
Don't talk to me that way.
No.
That's not
like
Don.
I don't like it.
Don is much more nuanced.
Don is much more nuanced. He doesn't just say idiot. And I'll tell you the truth, it also feels fugazi. Feels fake. Feels forced.
Well, I just felt sorry for the poor caller screaming, I'm not an idiot.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell
that part's
you that
good.
There haven't been times where I have called a caller a moron or something.
No, Don, not you.
But I don't think I get that personal like that. That was the whole act, was just tearing the guy's mentality down. And he sounded a little bit like Carlin.
Oh.
Not in his rage, but in the way he was speaking. But that was... I don't know, unless that caller has like made that point 15 consecutive days or something, but that seemed like it went from 0 to 60 very quick.
And idiot was I know that our bosses don't like calling people. I don't think I've ever Don sometimes will slip, but I mean people we preach about how like our listeners are our family. You don't call people in your family idiots.
Well, sometimes I
have slipped because there are times where I do feel that the person's a moron for maybe, forget about the sports perspective, maybe there's something they insulted me or whatever, but from a sports perspective, you try to keep it like that's a moronic statement. Not that the person's a moron or the person's an idiot, but what you're saying doesn't make a lot of sense. But this guy, wow. And I saw the video.
Yeah,
so he's in his suit and, you know, totally like 100% TV, and he's an older gentleman that might need to think about retiring.
Oh my God!
Wait. Are you calling? You're calling for the man's job?
No, I'm not calling for the man's job at all. I'm just saying that to me seemed like misplaced rage. Like he was upset about something else.
Wow.
But who am I to analyze it? But you threw it out there, and I can't help but do.
No, you got to do it. It's your job.
But I do appreciate that you guys that you didn't. You don't think I'm quite that bad.
We might use this from now on, though.
Get off our show!
But you don't sound that, you don't think that sounds like Carlin?
I hear a little Carlin.
Let me hear it again.
We'll give you another one.
Fair weather idiot.
Now Carlin's voice is a little higher than that. But
Carlin's voice is a little higher than high pitch Eric.
Wait.
I think that's more insulting than when you went after his weight, Peter, because when you went after his weight, you were being attacked.
Well, and also he knows that that's just he goes after his weight. It's kind of it's low hanging fruit, as he said.
Very low hanging.
Higher pitch than high pitched Eric.
I love high pitched Eric.
Underrated moment on the show the other day was when Rappaport called in and said he was alerted to this by High Pitch Eric.
Pitch Eric is part of the Carmy. He's part of the K Army. And by the way, we have to employ them a little later on. We'll explain. The Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Plainview. Joe, start it off.
Hey, Mike, Don, and Peter. I'm a very big fan of the show. I've been watching since 2018.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so I went to the game yesterday, and I booed Stanton because I was frustrated with the way they're playing, and I was probably going to boo at some point. So I decided to boo at that point because everyone else was, and I don't want to be the only idiot who was booing someone. So that's why I booed.
That's no way to live. Don't be a leader, not a follower.
Come on.
Like my father said, if everybody jumped off the George Washington Bridge, you'd jump too?
So shocked to hear that your dad said that.
You know, Bruce Drenman wants to ring in.
Fair weather idiot.
No, I've made it my station in life. Be different. Be bold. Don't follow. Lead.
I mean, that was the most inane excuse for why you booed. I didn't want to boo alone. There are a lot of guys that failed yesterday. Why did Giancarlo Stanton bear the brunt of it?
But that's so weak though, right? I didn't want to be the only one who didn't boo.
Well, that's honestly.
Be bold, man.
Let's go to Ed in Staten Island. Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Mike. What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Yeah, so I was at the game yesterday. I was front and center, legends, you know, sitting there. And I'll be very honest with you. I booed Stanton. And I know he heard me because I was booing pretty loud. But going 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts and that last at-bat, you know, staring at the first 2 pitches and then swinging at the third pitch that wasn't even close, it's embarrassing. You come to the New York market. This isn't the Marlins anymore. And you come to the New York market, you have to expect something like that.
Let me ask you one thing. And again, you have every right to do whatever you want. You probably spent a lot of money on those tickets. But
why
in game one? Do you think that's going to help him?
Listen, to be honest with you, I feel, you know, listen, is booing acceptable?
Of course it's acceptable.
Yes and no. But I feel like maybe I'm pushing him to do a little bit better. You know, I'm screaming at him, swing at the ball, Stan. You're staring at the pitches. He looked like he was just resting the bat on his shoulder that last at-bat. And, you know, that was the most important at-bat of the game for him. I mean, you know, we needed to manufacture a run there. I mean, I wasn't really just booing him in general. The whole team should have been booed. It was embarrassing.
How did he do in the postseason last year, Ed? That's what I mean, what did you think how he didn't? He was the same way. He rests the bat on his shoulder. He's very quiet at the plate. He doesn't really have much movement. So if he doesn't succeed, it looks like he's not trying, but he is trying. I mean, that's the same way he was when he won an MVP. So I'm just wondering, you know, Peter mentioned earlier, short memories. I know it was October, but it's not that long ago.
But think about what Ed's saying. And I get it, Michael, and I expected it to happen when he went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, especially now, the effort that people have to go through to get to games. That guy spent a pretty penny. If he's sitting in the legend seats, you know, went and probably got tested specifically to get to go to that game, right? And he wants to be entertained, and he wasn't, and he booed. So I expected that. But think of his logic. Everybody deserved to be booed today. They were terrible. You play 162 games, you think you're going to win every one of them? What, just because it's the first game of the season that you're supposed to go out there and it's almost like gifted from God that the Yankees are supposed to win a game? The Blue Jays are a good team. I don't think they're as good as the Yankees, but they're a good team. And you're not beating them 19 times. You're not going 162-0. So your losses are going to come on days where you probably get shut down by a team that really played well. And it wasn't like you lost 10-0. He lost 3-2 in extra innings. I can understand if you lose 10 straight. If we are having this conversation in August and they're 15 games out of first place, Michael, then I get the frustration. But one loss?
Yeah.
What do you expect every day?
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit angry after the game because you just get off the game and then that's how people – but that's how – I'm not angry. I'm just curious. I'm just curious the thought process. Because I'll tell you what, Yankee fans are very smart because Aaron Judge admittedly had a terrible game. But they know, well, we're not going to boo Judge. I mean, let's not get out of hand. So let's boo somebody that comes from another organization. Let's boo him. So they chose Stanton. But although Judge had a hit and Stanton was 0-for-5, Judge had a worse game because he left a lot of runners on base. In big spots, he even said it after the game. Judge always takes total responsibility. He's not dodging it. They didn't boo him, though, because they know, well, let's not boo Judge. But let's just completely embarrass Giancarlo Stanton. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, you know, it's a simple thing. It's the E word. It's emotion. I mean, that's what New Yorkers want. That's what Yankee fans want. And that's what we don't get out of Stanton.
That's an interesting point. It's like you feel like he looks too casual and cavalier after he strikes out. I'm just, but he's saying an interesting point.
But how do you know? Everybody handles things differently. I mean, I'm a nutcase. You always know how I feel every second because I can't hide my emotions.
Right.
But there's some really great professional athletes that when they fail, you don't even know. And it looks like they don't care, but because they're able to keep it inside, they're able to keep their composure. So Paul O'Neill breaking a bat over his knee, that means he cares more.
Right.
Than Giancarlo Stanton, who's maybe a guy that's a little bit more composed?
Well, let me ask
that's
you this, Chris.
Yorker. We can't help it.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Yes. Because if that's the way you feel, I can't tell you right or wrong. Derek Jeter never showed any emotion on the field, ever. Were you okay with him?
He showed emotion at times after a double play, a fist bump once in a while.
A fist? I mean,
that's enough emotion for me.
Well, but Stanton showed emotion when he was hitting 6 home runs during the postseason last year, Chris.
I love him. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great player, and I think he's going to hit for us. But I would love to see a little more oomph out of him is all I'm saying.
Yeah, listen, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. That's how the guy's built, man. I told you, he's a Southern California kid. He is not going to be Paul O'Neill. He's not going to punch the water cooler. He's just not that guy.
But you
doesn't mean he doesn't care.
But you brought up a great point. I mean, yeah, well, Jeter, he'd get excited and pump his fist. So will Stanton.
Stanton gets excited, but Jeter would never snap a bat over his head.
So that's what they want because he just said it. He let it slip because, you know, we're New Yorkers, and New Yorkers, they show their emotion. Well, Stanton's not from New York. And so what, he's got to be somebody that he's not? I mean, I'd watch Martin Brodeur give up a goal. You wouldn't know if it was his 10th goal or the first goal he's given up in a month because that's just – and people – yeah, that kind of pulse, right, where it just did nothing bothered him, and that's what made him great. Like, the real true great ones don't go over the top either way because they know you got to live to fight another day. Some people are just very introverted. There are some people that they're stone-faced. That doesn't mean they don't care. It's just that's how they're brought up or that's how they're programmed, that you got to go out there and you got to just start, like, breaking water coolers to show that you're really upset that you struck out. Or does the true professional say, yeah, I took an 0-for, I struck out 3 times. But you know what? There's a game Saturday. Then there's a game Sunday. And, oh, by the way, there's 161 more games where I'm going to have a chance to go crazy and make up for this.
I do appreciate the caller, though, because I think whether you think it's silly or not, he did tap into something that's very real. You know, people like seeing someone angry. And, you know, like Eli, for example, the king of low-key when he made mistakes, right? That wouldn't have played here if Eli hadn't won championships. If he didn't get that first Super Bowl and he was just always Eli, like, ho-hum, I threw an interception, it's okay. And he wasn't so clutch in the playoffs, I don't think it would have played.
But knowing Eli, do you think that he didn't care about winning?
Of course he did.
So, I mean, no, I'm not going to let that guy up because I think that's just too base. That's too just...
But it's not conscious. It's just what affects people's psyche. They're not rationally going, He doesn't care. I hate him. It's just a visceral reaction to when you see what looks like a lazy at bat.
But meanwhile, and I'm not getting on you because there were a lot of people that agreed with you, but when you're over the top with your emotions and go crazy like Brett Gardner, he's a try too hard. He's a try hard. Just be yourself.
Great point. Great point, Don.
But Yankees fans like Gardy for that.
Right.
I think they like his tryhard.
That he's a tryhard. There were people that defended your opinion that he was a tryhard. So you can't win unless you're actually going out there and winning.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. We all love Paul O'Neill. He's the Warrior, right? If he was on a 100-win team every year, batting .220, breaking bats over his leg and acting like he did, people would think he was a jerk. But he playing for a championship team and he was a really good player. He's the Warrior. So we've got to put on a show for the fans and the ones that are over the top with their emotions who want to be like me and rip a computer in half. Well, those are the ones that really care. But the guy that's composed and professional, well, he doesn't care. That's ridiculous.
Believe me, everybody. I can't prove it to you. Giancarlo Stanton's cares.
Prove it to me.
He wants to do well. This is the same guy who hit 59 home runs for the Marlins. Same kind of – he's just not a demonstrative dude. He's just not that guy.
Right.
You can't ask somebody to be something that he's not. Hey, here's what's amazing to me. DJ LeMahieu is literally called the machine. He's like a robot. Where's the emotion there? But you know what? You hit 364. That's just emotional enough.
Right, but unfortunately, when they acquired DJ LeMahieu, he didn't come with, oh, my God, we're going to win 160 games this year. I mean, that's part of it, too. The expectations were through the roof. When they acquired him, Michael, you were a part of it, too, with the yes promos and all that this was going to be the 27 Yankees, and they haven't been.
But my point is, Don, you can be an absolute robot, and if you produce, then that's fine. Because DJ LeMahieu shows as much emotion as Stanton. He doesn't show any emotion. None. Do you boo him? No, because he hit 364.
Right.
So it all comes down to production. Yesterday he didn't produce. He didn't show emotion during the postseason. He hit 6 home runs. Now, there were not, Yankee fans weren't in the stand. There were no fans in the stand, so you don't know how they'd react. But it's going to be interesting to see because now players are going to hear exactly what fans think. The fans have had a year off. They are going to vent. We'll be back in just a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Before we broke, it was revealed that Major League Baseball has pulled the All-Star game this year from Atlanta. And I'm frankly stunned. It might not seem like it because it's not like a sports quote-unquote moment. I never thought they would do that. Because, I mean, there's such planning that goes into an All-Star game, A. When somebody builds a new ballpark, usually an All-Star game is promised to them, and that's what happened at Atlanta. But Georgia is in the middle of a very dynamic attempt to shift voting rights and IDs and shorter hours, and you can't. I think there was a part of a rule that was being considered that can't. It'd be against the law to actually give water to people that are waiting online to vote. So this was being done from everything that I've read by the Republican Party in Georgia and in the districts where they can get stuff like this done. It's heavily Republican, although the thing that swung the Senate in the last election was that both Senate seats were won by Democrats, which was shocking. And a lot of the credit people think is to Stacey Abrams, who lost her bid when she ran against Kemp for governor. But she mobilized forces and got people to vote. And, the new voting laws are about not allowing mail-in voting and stuff like that. All of that, it's way over my pay grade, but it is certainly, from everything that you read, it's being done to maybe Republicans feel level the playing field where they still have a chance to win in Georgia, which used to always be a conservative voting state. And this last time with the two senators being elected from the Democratic Party, it's starting to turn, and that could really change the Electoral College in the future. Now, with baseball lined up to have the All-Star game there, it was an opportunity for them to make a statement, and boy, did they make this statement. I don't know where the All-Star game is going to be played. I'm sure that any city would love to have it, but it's a huge statement. It's a huge statement because when you get into people's pocketbooks, you get people's attention. So is Coca-Cola going to get involved where Coca-Cola goes, this isn't going to stand? And I think Delta is out of Atlanta, and I think their CEO said this is not going to stand. So, I mean, it's a country that's very polarized right now from each side. And the reason I didn't think it was going to happen, you know, Don said about pocketbooks. The owners of professional sports teams are very rich. And rich people do not want high taxes. It's very easy. So conservatives probably preach lower taxes. And liberals or Democrats preach higher taxes to build things and help people less fortunate. So that's where we stand. I didn't think the owners in baseball, I'm not saying every single one of them feels this way, would allow Manfred to do this. And the players, the workforce in baseball, I'd say the majority of them are probably more conservative-leaning than liberal-leaning. So it is a very decisive strike by Manfred, and it is going to have far-reaching ramifications. And I know our listeners hate it, and we don't do it, but I'm sorry, we are right now at the intersection of sports and politics, and there's no other way to discuss it. Major League Baseball just pulled their All-Star game from a state that's trying to change its voting rules. So there you have it, everybody. What a statement by Rob Manfred. And I just wonder, did he really have to sell this to an ownership base that might not feel this way?
Well, it might just come down to where it was sponsor pressure. You know, not just the companies that are located in Georgia, like Coca-Cola, like Delta, but other companies that are going to follow suit. And now it becomes a money game where even if an owner wants to still have the game in Georgia, we're going to lose money. There's a lot of sponsors who aren't going to be involved in this. And we saw during the pandemic, or certainly during the summer, when a lot of politics became very polarizing, where sports got involved. And one of the things that a lot of sports teams did was volunteering their arena or stadium to be a place where you could vote. So you kind of put your money where your mouth is, right? I mean, are you in or you out? Now, you know, you don't want to be political because just like Michael Jordan supposedly said, Republicans buy sneakers too. But during the summer, we saw a lot of sports stand up for what they thought was right. And now it's kind of tough, Michael, to do it a la carte. And how do you tell like sports teams that felt that the need to vote to change and offer up their stadiums and arenas to vote so it was easier for the communities to go out there and vote, that when there's a feeling that that vote is being stifled in a state where you're going to hold the All-Star game, that you go out there and still play it? It's hard to do.
And, you know, our great listeners reminded me of the NFL situation. The NFL took a Super Bowl away from Arizona because they voted to not make Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday. So they did not recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So they took the Super Bowl away from Arizona in the early 90s. And then when they did recognize MLK Day, then they got the Super Bowl back. And the NBA, I think, took an All-Star game away from Charlotte because of changes in transgender laws. So
right,
that's where we are. These are powerful statements by leagues. Now, obviously, the thing that really hurts a metropolis or a community is losing the Super Bowl, because that's millions and millions of dollars. I think the economic impact of Major League Baseball's All-Star game is significant, but it doesn't scratch the surface of the Super Bowl. But let's see if it gets anybody's attention. See if it gets anybody's attention. But that when I saw that come across Twitter, I was really surprised, because I was prepared not to have that happen.
I really hope New York makes a play for the All-Star weekend too.
Well,
wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool to split it?
Yeah, you could have the home run derby at one of the parks and the game at the other.
Probably won't happen, because we've had it recently. Citi Field had it in 2013.
When things like this happened, Don
has never had it.
And this Yankee Stadium hasn't had it. And
because
the
old Yankee Stadium before they closed
had
it,
in
it, had it.
Right.
But even so, with moments like this, when they're kind of forced to throw it together, I don't think the fact that it was here in 2013 will matter that much. It's just about what they have pulled together.
They have not announced the site yet, but they're in the process of nailing it down. And, you know, one of the sad things, they were going to honor the life of Hank Aaron, which they said they will still do in whichever venue, but it would have been perfect in Atlanta. I think Atlanta was also supposed to get the game last year, and there wasn't an All-Star game, so Atlanta has been hit twice.
I am not going to dive into the politics of all this because I've learned better than that on this program. Yeah. However, I would be curious to understand it. I just don't understand the other side of this subject. I don't understand not allowing food and drink to people online to vote. There are things like that. I just can't understand what side you'd be on where you'd be against that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's and you know, in his statement, he said, you know, we support people's ability to vote, and we do not support voter suppression. And, you know, a lot of people view what's happening in Georgia as a clear case of trying to suppress some voters, certain, you know, pockets of voters that have swung Georgia.
The short of it is Georgia's population has flipped over the years. Atlanta is an absolutely black metropolis. And all of those counties, of course, voted a way that a lot of people don't like, that the Republicans don't like. So this is an ongoing fight, and it's been really ugly. There have been some really horrible things that have been put in place there. So, listen, feel how you want about it. Good for Major League Baseball for doing something they believe in. We'll see how it plays out, what the ramifications are, because I am imagining there will be divide amongst even the players and the people of Major League Baseball, which is not a particular – the MLB is not the NBA. You know, besides Buck Showalter, Buck Showalter is one of the only people I can even recall, Michael, over the last several years with social unrest and issues of you know, Black Lives Matter and things like that. He's one of the only people I've heard say anything. Major League Baseball, there have not been a lot of outspoken voices in management. So this is a pretty big and bold move from MLB.
Yeah, I'm kind of stunned. Kind of stunned because I know the makeup of the workforce. Because, I mean, when most professional sports, you know, their stars were kneeling, it wasn't an automatic in baseball. Not even close.
And there wasn't nearly as much of it, was there?
No, there was not. All right, let's go to the phones. Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I guess Major League Baseball didn't see what happened to the National Football League ratings and their revenues over the past few years, so they had to dive into something they had no right to do. Now, Peter, to answer your question, the rule about the giving people water online was put into place because last election, groups that represented certain sides of an issue, say if I'm a Democrat or Republican, showed up, set up water tents, and only gave water to people that they identified as look like they're voting for my guy. Fights broke out on lines. So the election board said, nobody comes within 400
feet. I'd like to see the proof of that.
All the water to anyone who needs it. So that's the reason why that was put into place.
I don't buy that. Somebody, Danny, I don't buy that, but it's nice to hear. Okay.
You don't have to buy it, but the state of Georgia just put in rules that already exist in 25
Danny,
states.
If this election so didn't go the way it went, this wouldn't be happening. You know it. I know it.
Peter, you may be completely right because they didn't have because they did not have rules that were up to date as the same. I'm telling you that 25 other states have the exact same rules. So good luck finding a state that meets your criteria because Joe Biden's home state of Delaware requires you to produce a driver's license or state ID to get an absentee ballot. Most people in America agree that if you're going to get a ballot, you cannot get a vaccine without showing your ID.
I hear that. And sure,
everybody
that makes sense.
Has an ID.
And I've always been perplexed about the lack of ID when it comes to voting.
Yeah, I'm not saying which way I fall, but I do not understand how you could vote without an ID. I don't get it.
That is the rule, and that's all that this law is about.
But that is not the only thing, Danny. Don't say that.
Also, it's shortening the hours, Danny.
Yeah, Danny, that's not the only thing it's about.
I just told you two things. Why don't you tell me? By the way, my point is that this is local politics. So now let's go through every state and every single issue, and let's fine-tooth comb everything that we don't agree with. Where would we ever be able to put the All-Star game? I want my politics to be apolitical. I don't want to...
You mean your sports.
Where are we gonna move
your
this
sports
now?
You want apolitical.
Politics can't be apolitical, unfortunately, Nick.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
In a perfect world, Danny, you're right, but I guess people are trying to make a stand and change what they think is a wrong.
What is it wrong? Asking for ID to get an absentee ballot?
Well, maybe they'll articulate what they feel that these laws, again, this is Rob Manfred, not me, saying that we do not endorse voter suppression. A lot of people look at what Georgia is doing as voter suppression.
They're also
Abrams just went on the air and said, "Please do not boycott Georgia. This law is not this. Do not boycott my state. You're only hurting the state of Georgia. So who is hurt now? The minority people, the white people, everyone who lives in Georgia that was going to make a dime off this is now hurt." I don't know. Did we bail out of New York sports because Andrew Cuomo decided to let everybody out of jail? No bail? No. It's a separate issue. It should remain separate issues. And I don't want every single law to be just, we don't like this law. We don't like that law. Keep the sports
no, I hear
away
you.
From
you
the know, politics.
Listen, I understand. And if I probably felt differently about this issue, I could certainly see that. So I'm not going to sit here and say I don't understand where Danny's coming from. Because I understand how this gets complicated.
You know what this comes down to? They were probably informed by some members of their workforce that if the All-Star game was played in Atlanta, these players wouldn't play. Remember, Mookie Betts would not play last year at some point, and then they canceled the game. Mookie Betts is one of the biggest stars of the game. So he's probably making the All-Star team in the National League, and he decides not to show up as protest. It's a bad look. It's supposed to be a celebratory event for sport. So it is unfortunate when sports and politics intersect, but that's exactly why they did this, because I think they probably were told by the Players Alliance that your workforce is not showing up if there's an All-Star game. And that would be a bad look for baseball. But, you know, Danny's right. Do you now have to go and find a situation that is in lockstep with all of your political views? It's an ugly, ugly box that's been opened. It really is. I mean, I don't know where that place is. Is it New York? I don't know. Is it California? I'm not sure. So it seems like the acceptable places would be the places that lean to one side and against the side in Atlanta. And there's a lot of states in this union that lean the same way as Atlanta does. So in an already polarized country, you're going to further polarize it now? At some point, somebody's going to step and go, enough, stop. This is crazy. Well,
that's what's interesting, Michael, is that there wasn't a lot of other stuff that Major League Baseball has done leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the NBA has made so crystal clear how they feel about black issues in this country. They prioritize it. They put it on the shirts. They put it on the sidelines. They talk about Breonna Taylor. They run commercials. They do a lot of stuff. So if the NBA was to then make a statement by doing something like this, you wouldn't be surprised. You'd say, well, they've looked at who their workforce is. They've looked at who their audience is, and they're making a decision. And it goes right in line with what they've done. But it doesn't feel that Major League Baseball has done a lot of the other stuff leading up to this that makes this kind of fall in line with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it becomes, I don't know how you can do it. I mean, smarter people than I have to figure this out. I don't know how you make every single person and every side happy in a decision you make like this. I don't know. By making a decision, yeah, there's going to be a part of your fan base and a part of your workforce that goes, good job, Rob. And then there's going to be another part that goes, that's just terrible. You just lost me. And I think Danny might be one of those people.
And
so you it's a tightrope. I don't know if you can get from one point to the next without falling. I just don't think you can.
Well, this is the scary thing to me, guys, about all this, is that we now look at Georgia. And let's say you are somebody that disagrees with these rules. And now we're going to take things away from the state of Georgia. Well, not everybody in Georgia is in lockstep with everything Georgia does. So let's just say, hypothetically, 46% of the state does not agree with these voting restrictions. But they're going to be lumped in with the other 54% that do. So the stores and the hotels and the businesses that would benefit from the All-Star game being there, no matter where they politically lean, are being punished overall by what the state decides to do. Because I can guarantee you it's not every single citizen of Georgia and not every business of Georgia, and maybe not every politician of Georgia agrees with this. But all they need is the majority to pass it. So now the people that were on the side of baseball, on the quote-unquote side of the righteous, they still get punished because they happen to reside in Georgia.
One thing I just want to add to the question that Danny put out there about food and drink being served and it going to the wrong people, you know, it was pointed out to me how we even got to the place where you need food and drink for sustenance on lines is the problem. It's because 214 precincts in Georgia have been closed. So now the lines are so long that you're having a conversation about how to provide sustenance to those online all day. I think all of us can agree, if you believe in voting in this country, people should not have to be online all day to vote. That should not be a political issue. I don't understand why we can't vote at home. I do not understand how we're incapable. We do everything online, everything, and can't even vote safely and securely at home.
You know the answer to that.
Because everything is so easily hackable. I mean, they're hacking electrical grids, so I mean, they can hack into voting. You know,
but then how is the answer that we want to have less voting sites so people have to wait all day? It's crazy.
It's tough.
I don't know that I would vote.
Election day should be on a weekend, by the way.
It should be on a weekend.
Yeah.
It should be on a weekend. And I got to tell you guys, as much as people know that I care about issues, if I walked up to a precinct on election day and that line was 10 hours long the way these people have had to vote, I don't know that I stay there for 10 hours to vote.
No, you'd say what Don said. I'm good.
Or, yep, as I said.
Yep.
And just walk away.
But there's a lot of these states, because Danny said a lot of states have the same thing. The reason Georgia's so polarizing is it's a swing state that's up for grabs. New York doesn't matter because it always seems to vote the same way. California, the same thing. Texas, the same thing. But there's certain states, as we found out in the last two elections, that really drive this country and people pay attention.
I don't know if you guys realize it, but the Drop Madness Final Four is today. Yeah.
That's right.
So be ready to cast your votes at TMKS ESPN on Twitter for each matchup when they're announced at 4:20. Drop Madness is presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Now, we're going to allow you to start voting at 4:20, but very quickly, here are the final four matchups. So this is my bracket. Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday. I'll be facing this drop.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds, the Ravens, against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
That's one game. That's the early game. Now the primetime game. It's Don LaGreca.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Versus Andrew.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
I'd love to see that win the whole thing. Anyway, voting starts at 4:20, so vote early, vote often, and if you know someone is having trouble voting, go to their home, give them some water. We don't care. We're okay with it. 1-800-919-3776. No Met baseball this week. That series has been postponed because of COVID. So the Mets now will have Taijuan Walker be the starter on their home opener at Citi Field, and Jacob DeGrom will pitch Monday. I believe that's against the Phillies. So there you have it. All three games against the Nationals have been postponed. They'll have to be made up at another time. So that's why all the matchups that you're seeing in baseball, they're interdivisional as much as they could, because that if one of these games is postponed,
right?
Well, then you're playing that other, you're playing that team 19 times anyway, so there's places that you could make up the games. There you have it. All right, we'll come back. Lots to do. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. Big Friday. Now, if you are of this religious persuasion, we hope you have a blessed Good Friday and a good Easter. Yes. Happy Easter as well. Enjoy the weekend. We will take you until 6:30. At that time, the big fella takes over.
You have big plans on Sunday, Michael?
Yeah, I'm working.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it's baseball season.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't forget it was baseball season, but this is that kind of, you know, Michael would have a game today. You don't have a game today.
Right.
Also, Peter tricked me yesterday on the air.
Was it an April Fool's joke?
I did.
No, it wasn't meant to be an April Fool's joke, but I guess it could. Because it's been a while, right? First game of the season. So it's the bottom of the 10th. And I was doing my reads, doing the show, and then Peter goes, how did Judge get on second?
That wasn't a joke.
And I go, I wasn't paying attention. I'm doing the show, Peter. And then I hit me. I'm like, wait a minute. No, it's the 10th inning. He made the last down the last day.
Right.
Like, my instinct was, oh, I did he double? Did I miss it?
Now, I'm gonna actually put it all on the line here because we're truth tellers here. So between innings, I am talking to the truck. They're telling me what they're going to roll in, stuff like this. So it's not like the time between innings when we're not on the air that I could just go and gallivant. Sometimes I'll go run to the bathroom and come back.
I thought my mom was the only one that used that word.
Well, now they're
two. Gallivant's a great
and
word.
So the 10th inning comes up, and I look up at the start of the inning, and I see the runner at second base. I had completely blanked on the fact that that's the rule. That, you know, and I panicked. Like, how did that runner get there? I didn't even call it. What?
All right, so I feel
and bad. Then I took a deep breath, and I said, oh, you know, I never showed the fact that I didn't know, but there was a moment of panic where I go, I just missed a play where a guy's in scoring position to win the game, and I didn't see it. But, so I think it happened to everybody.
Yeah, because it's only been around for a year, you know, and you've got, you know, for between the two of us, nearly, you know, what, almost like 100 years of watching baseball. You know, it's tough to get it into your system, right?
Yep, it absolutely is. All right, we are going to need the Carmy today to mobilize.
Oh, I got to see this. Let me go to Twitter.
So I'm in the final four of the Jason Barrett Sports Media MVP tournament. And I'm going up against the great Ernie Johnson of TNT and TBS. And right now, Ernie's
Whoa. What was that, Don?
What'd you say, Don?
I said, eh.
You don't like Ernie Johnson?
No, I could do without the bow tie.
Oh,
yeah, but this is like an easy vote for me.
You know, I mean.
I hate a bow tie.
I am not a hateful person. I can't stand bow ties. I don't understand them. I think it's an affectation that just doesn't work. I hate it. You'll never see me in a bow tie, except if I'm in a tuxedo.
Is Ernie Johnson a strictly bow tie? No.
He's a strictly bow tie in basketball, but I think when he did baseball, he would wear a tie.
Let's get going, people. The Carmy, you're 10 points behind.
Well, I'll tell you, earlier in the day, it was 80-20 in favor of Ernie, and then some of the Carmy mobilized themselves, which is very special. So go to Sports Radio PD. We want to win this because the final is going to be either Adam Schefter and Charles Barkley against the winner of this. So I need the Carmy to step up. I really do.
Yeah, this is going to be good. Let's go. Let's move it.
So get the voting done now so you can get fully immersed in Drop Madness, which starts at 4:20, and we got a Final Four like you read about.
And also, while you're there, while you're there voting, throw Jason a follow, will you?
Yeah. Jason's always been good to us.
Yeah. Throw him a follow. Believe me, you will not regret it.
Yeah, because Jason, and you know, he pulls all the PDs, and we were voted the number one afternoon drive show in the entire country.
I think that's back-to-back years.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So I'd like to spend a moment here on Ernie Johnson. He does almost exclusively wear the bow ties for NBA stuff, and I don't appreciate that. However, I will say there's something about him where I don't notice it as much. It doesn't come off as annoying as it does with some people.
So are you annoyed by Ken Rosenthal? Now, he wears it for a good cause.
He wears it for a good cause, but I find the look more annoying, yes.
I don't think that you could find somebody that wears a bow tie with a suit or a sport coat not annoying. It's an affectation. You should purchase a bow tie and a pipe in pairs.
I'm not into it. Do you know one of my best friends does it? Like, he's a lawyer, and he's decided, none of us understand why.
Because he's calling attention to himself. He's screaming, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Right. The only ones that really can get away with it from a cool and also, like, attractive standpoint, I think, to women, is a Chippendale dancer. That's it.
Without a shirt. You don't want a shirt on.
I don't think they're appealing to women.
No. Jody loves when I walk around the house with just a bow tie on.
Is that true?
Else. Yeah, she loves it.
You know, there's a Wikipedia page dedicated to those who wear bow ties.
Yeah, it's a page I will not visit.
And by the way, you know what really stinks about it? Is that it looks great with tuxedos. And that's it.
That's it. It should
in formal wear.
Be
it looks nice.
I'm also not a big ascot or dickie guy. I don't get that either.
No, me neither. Yeah, it's I don't know Ernie.
Now, the
I'd like to talk to
the only reason that you would have like an ascot or a dickie, I mean, the only reasonable reason to me, if you have a goiter, if you could cover a goiter, I get it.
Or it's like $17.90.
So do you want to know the list of athletes that are on the bow tie list?
And that's five.
Richard Sherman, bow tie guy.
Okay. Look at me.
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, he's always been a bow tie guy.
Which is weird. And he was such not a look at me basketball player. It's like he has to make up for it. He was a shutdown defender and that's it. But he's a bow tie man. Frank Cashin, ring a bell in terms of bow ties?
Yeah, it worked with Frank Cashin. He was like 97 years old.
Right, he was born in 1790.
Don, here's one. Don, here's one that affects your household. Tim Lincecum.
Yeah.
Bow tie guy.
You know, the first time he came on a post game with a bow tie, Tim Lincecum, this is what Nancy said.
You are an idiot.
Ballard weighed in. Sadly, I know he says this with sadness because he loves the guy. He said Charles Woodson is an ascot guy. It's horrible.
Yeah, he is. But you know what? He pulls it off because he's very handsome.
Still, it's not a...
Isn't Shannon Sharp a bow tie guy, too?
No. He used to be. He's not anymore.
Oh, he used to be.
Yeah.
I love
he's a recovering bow tie guy.
I can respect recovering bow tie.
Anybody out there... Oh, I mean, we're on for another 2.5 hours. If you wear a bow tie, we'd like to know why. There's got to be a reason. It can't be that you think it's sartorially splendid, because it's not. You're a nozzle. Nozzle.
You know who else?
Who?
Porky Pig.
Worked with him.
Porky Pig and Donald Duck, both bow tie guys.
Both worked. I think Mickey might be a bow tie guy.
The Penguin, of course.
Sure.
But that made sense, given that he's a penguin. The Cat in the Hat. Krusty the Clown, bow tie guy.
Yeah. I'm looking right now because I'm being told that the Braves have released a statement about Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game on their Twitter account. So
is that true?
Right now.
All right, go ahead.
Ooh.
The Atlanta Braves are deeply disappointed by the decision of Major League Baseball to move its 2021 All-Star game.
Well, this is interesting.
This was neither our decision nor our recommendation, and we are saddened that fans will not be able to see this event in our city. The Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, and we had hoped our city could use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion. Our city has always been known for its unity at times, and we will miss the opportunity to address issues that are important to our community. Unfortunately, businesses, employees, and fans in Georgia are the victims of this decision. We will continue to support the Community Legacy Project, which have been planned and are in progress. And that's where they stand. So, I mean, I see that side of it. Hey, this could have been a great opportunity to play the game and hammer how they disagree with the decisions and all that. That you know, cause, so can you look at it as a missed opportunity?
I think if you look, Don and Peter, at the release by the Players Alliance, you could see why Manfred did what he did. He's been told by players they would not show up. That's the only thing I could think. Because there's no way that the majority of the owners of Major League Baseball said, yeah, let's take it out of Atlanta. I don't see it.
Hmm. And what about sponsors too, Michael?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the sponsor said. I mean, I'm just saying the bottom line is players probably told Major League Baseball, you move this thing or we're not playing.
But why? See, this is where also they get hurt by their relationship. They could have come together and jointly and unified say that they're on board together. And they could have issued a statement together that the players and the owners agree that this game's got to get moved out. Instead of us speculating about, well, maybe the players put pressure or whatever. If they were getting pressure from the players, Michael, wouldn't have this been a great opportunity for them to be unified on something?
Well,
and
maybe
then together
this
issue the statement.
This is an olive branch to the players, you know, as they start the collective bargaining agreement. Look, we had your back in something really important. All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll reset. We got a lot of stuff to do. Talk about the Nets' victory yesterday. They just continue to roll no matter who they put out there, as long as one of the big three is on the floor. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, yes, so much to do. And the Nets are doing it. Did you watch the Nets against a good team? Even without Ball, okay? The Hornets are a good team. They're in playoff position. And the Nets embarrassed them. Absolutely embarrassed them. No Harden. And LaMarcus Aldridge playing his first game and looked terrific. No Blake Griffin. And, of course, no Kevin Durant. And they ran him out of the building. They never had a chance. Now, most times they play teams that are beneath them, and now they're in first place, so every team is literally beneath them. But when they play teams that are not at the level of, like, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Sixers, they get off to a slow start, and then they say, okay, I guess we should start the engine. But yesterday, Peter, I don't know how much of it you saw, they started the engine from the opening tip, and they ran the Hornets out of the building. They didn't belong on the same court.
I mean, it was over before it started. It was like 30 points immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at it. Yeah, it was like 62-40 or something when I looked at it in the second half.
Yeah, and that was getting close.
Yeah, that was.
Now, before the game, Kevin Durant had a Zoom meeting. Now, he's supposed to miss at least the next two games, and there seems to be some hope that he could come back after that, which would be the Knicks game, I believe, on Monday. So here's Durant, though, because we had on Michael Rapoport, called in thanks to our good friend High Pitch Eric.
Well, that's not why he called in.
No, but he alerted him.
Correct.
That we were talking about him, and then Rapoport has some kind of rapport with you.
Correct.
Okay, so you get total credit for that.
Thank you.
But he would not have known to even contact you if not for the great HPE.
That's true.
Okay. So Rapoport laid it all on the line, as he did in tweets, and revealed these disgusting objectionable tweets, direct messages that Durant had said in messages to Michael Rapoport. Now, maybe it would fall under the heading of trash talking. I have no idea. But here is Kevin Durant finally addressing publicly about those DMs.
I'm sorry that people seen the language I use. That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. Hopefully I can move past it and get back out on the floor.
You know, apologies are always tough, you know, like the ones that, you know, if I offended anybody. No, I don't want people to see the language that I use. Well, then why do you use that language then? So that's part of your, you know, the way you talk. And I think that he got ahead of things and the Nets got ahead of things because the NBA is looking into it. You can't say private conversations don't fall under the heading of being punished because Donald Sterling lost it. LA Clippers because of a private conversation that he had with his girlfriend. A private conversation that she recorded and then made public. So they said, wow, he talks like that. Well, then he shouldn't own a team. And they made the right decision. Well, Kevin Durant, in a private conversation that he didn't think would be public, talks just like that. Should that be allowed? What if a player said those same things on a Zoom call with the media? They'd immediately be disciplined.
Yeah, but it's a little bit of a difference between, like Donald Sterling wasn't disciplined for the words he said. It revealed the person he was, and that's why he was forced to sell the team. I understand a DM, and everybody out there that uses social media should realize that a DM is just a snapshot away from being made public. But it is a DM. It's a direct message. So it is a private conversation that was exposed by Michael Rapoport. He used salty language. He would not do that on a Zoom call because that's public.
But it was more than salty. Like, if he just MF'd him, okay. But, I mean, there were homophobic slurs there. I mean, well, this is obviously the way he talks.
Yeah, well, that obviously is... No, apology. It's the least he could do.
I got to read it again.
I'm just saying that he... it's not the same as a Zoom call. It's not the same as Donald Sterling.
No, I know it's not the same, but you know that this is the way he talks. So what I was saying, that if he did say something like this on a Zoom call, he would be disciplined and probably suspended.
Right,
so now the NBA has this awkward situation in their lap. What do they do with one of the best players in the game who very clearly thinks like this and speaks like this and didn't mean it to be public, but he does talk like this in private? What do they do? I mean, is there a proper thing to do?
I knew the language is bad. I didn't know there was homophobic stuff in there.
Yeah.
Is that right, Peter?
I didn't remember it being homophobic. Hold on. Of course, I can just look at Rappaport's page because he posted the entire thing the other day. I remember it being questionable. Here we go.
You pale, pasty, bleep, bleep, bleep.
That's not homophobic.
I can't wait to spit on your bleep bleep.
Yeah, that wasn't not homophobic, inappropriate perhaps. All right, so tell your baby I Chuck. No, not in the first page. The C word. You don't want the C word's not good.
No.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean he calls him a bleep 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 guzzling bleep. So. Yeah, I wouldn't call it. I mean, there's a lot of insinuating that he. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Michael, because he's saying, like, basically, you do homosexual acts.
Right.
So, yeah, you could infer it that way, but that's not what he's trying to say. Oh, either way, it's all bad. I mean,
no,
none of
awful.
It.
Well, it's but all I guess what I'm bad. Saying is that when he says he doesn't talk that way, what he says doesn't talk that way publicly.
Right. Not so you can hear it.
Wouldn't the better reply just be, I lost my cool? Like, the guy upset me, I lost my cool, I'm sorry.
I guess.
I think that would have been the better player.
He apologized for saying it. He apologized that you heard him, you know, that it was revealed.
I'll tell you what, though. Rappaport really doesn't mind, you know, getting the smoke, if you will. Like, he's down for that. It doesn't seem to bother him. I think this one is not going to play well for his brand long-term either, though.
A lot of what he does is his connections to NBA players. Well, he's going to lose players because Durant's really unpopular amongst players.
I saw the comments from people. People thought it was really lame. You know, in spite of the fact that Durant was going overboard, why? I don't know why you'd go public with that. I don't.
Well,
like, if it was a legitimate threat. I'm sorry?
I think he went public because.
Because of exactly what happened.
Exactly.
Right.
He wanted that to happen. And that's fine for that to happen because, listen, he's got bosses, but not to the point of Durant in the NBA. Michael Rappaport's not going to be forced to apologize for anything. But Durant's going to have to.
Well, he didn't apologize. He apologized again for, you know, that you heard it. He doesn't need this headache. He just, as I mentioned, I can't tell a guy not to get angry when people criticize him because I get angry when people criticize me. I do. But why? You won, man. You got two rings, your MVP final. I mean, you got it all. You built a team in Brooklyn that's the team to beat. You are the man. You're one of the best players who ever lived. Why are you so thin-skinned? You won. You won.
Listen, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that response from you is fair.
Why? Because said that I'm the guy. I'm the same way, but he won.
So did you.
But not his level.
Where's the level?
Back like this, Peter? I'm not telling Kevin Durant not to get angry about it, but to engage in back and forth with people that are beneath him, I don't do it anymore.
No, and you've never done it to this extent either, obviously.
He doesn't need to do this. He's above it.
No,
he's
they above both. It. They both looked really bad because KD went entirely too far, and he is way too big an icon to do that. And Rappaport, who I know loves a good troll, and he thinks it's all fun and games, he didn't need to do it either because he went to a point now where people are going to really think he's corny permanently for this.
And also, Kevin Durant's powerful enough and unfortunately has the free time to call up Michael Rappaport and say, hey, let's have lunch. Say these things to my face.
Now, he did say
that.
And
if you're not going to do that, then you know what? Then stick it. You're obviously not worth my time.
Now, he did say, meet me at Catch on West 17th Street.
Why would you put anything in print? Why wouldn't you just pick up the phone call and go, listen, I don't like what you said? Why don't you back off? Curse him out if you want. Try to avoid the word guzzling. That never works out good.
You don't want, yeah, guzzling's not the way to go.
Get away from guzzling.
But I just can't imagine. This is an actor having an opinion about a spot on TNT. My God. You're getting critiqued. Who cares? You're Kevin Durant.
He really is Kevin Durant. He's Kevin Durant. I could see if it was like the 15th guy on the bench that's, you know, going back and forth with a troll. He's Kevin Durant.
No, he's legit when he's playing the best player in basketball. I mean,
but can you imagine Michael Jordan doing it? Now, Michael Jordan had, I mean, obviously he held a grudge, but can you imagine Michael Jordan going back and forth in DMs?
And it's not even about his play. It's
like how an interview went with Charles.
Right. He's not paid to be a great interviewee. He's paid to be a great basketball player. But even if he gets killed about his basketball, so what? To get that angry about it, man, that's an issue.
So, do you think basketball needs to do more? Do you think the NBA has to do more?
I would hate to see a guy suspended for this, but
I'd fine him.
They've got to come down on him publicly, and this can't be accepted. And the fact that the Nets, okay, who have tiptoed around KD and Kyrie because they realize that they are the organization, they called him on the carpet. They called him on the carpet, and they probably said, "This can't stand, Kevin." And they're also taking a little bit of a chance doing that, A. B, they have sat down KD and Kyrie's buddy. DeAndre Jordan's not playing. Claxton plays. Yesterday, LaMarcus Aldridge played. That's their buddy. So they are saying, listen, we're going for one thing. We're doing it no matter who, you know. And the Nets don't need to have Kevin Durant talking like that to Michael Rapoport. Again, I don't know if he realizes it. You're Kevin Durant. There are very few people that have ever done this at this level. You are so great at what you do, at your craft. You have to get involved in gutter wars. It doesn't make sense. You're fighting in the sewer.
You know who we should talk to? We may think he talks like a nozzle sometimes, but consider how many people have had things to say about Kyrie. Kyrie's never derailed. He never starts ranting and raving. He may get annoyed. He may say something kind of snarky. He can come off as a little bit full of himself, but he's not losing his mind. And everyone was saying annoying things. Kyrie has been way more publicly judged, you know, recently at least.
I think what Kyrie likes to do is tick you off that you start to rip him, but then he doesn't answer back, which aggravates you more.
Right, because I don't think he cares what you think. He might want the attention, but part of what I guess makes Kyrie Kyrie is he knows when he does these things he's going to get negative attention, and it doesn't bother him because the words that are said, the criticism, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's going to sit out. Family issues, you know, his girlfriend's pregnant, so he's not going to go take the road trip, or, you know, he's going to sit out because he feels bad about what's happening politically. He knows he's going to get ripped for it and doesn't care. And you kind of would have to admire somebody who flat out doesn't care what people think.
I wish I could be like that. Knicks against the Mavericks tonight, so the Knicks have to bounce back from an awful loss to Minnesota. That was just dreadful. I mean, I think they led by 14 in the fourth quarter and lost. Barrett and Randall did not come up big for one of the few times this year, so they lost, and now they're playing a Maverick team that's much better than the one that started the season. Porzingis will be playing as well. So that's going to be interesting. And everybody that hoped, including me, that the Maverick pick that the Mavericks sent to the Knicks and the Porzingis deal was going to be a lottery pick. It's not going to be a lottery pick. They've played so well, they've moved up to seventh in the West, and they'll continue to move up. So that will not be a lottery pick.
They're on their way.
Did you see the story about Donovan Mitchell? Interesting. I really can't blame him. So story the other day, the Utah Jazz are flying to Memphis. Their team took off, their charter flight took off, hit a flock of birds.
There was a bird.
Caused an engine fire and engine failure, so they had to have an emergency landing in Salt Lake City. A few hours later, the rest of the team got on the flight to Memphis. Donovan Mitchell could not do it. He missed the game against the Grizzlies, which Utah won. He said because he felt he needed time to process a terrifying incident before getting on a plane again. I don't know how people could be on a near-miss flight and then just get on the next one that's available. I guess you just... I guess you play the odds game in your head and go, yeah, it can't happen again. But Donovan Mitchell didn't want to play it. And he goes, I know a lot of athletes hate flying. I hate flying. But when you realize it's part of the rules of engagement of your job, you have to do it. You close your eyes and hope everything goes well. But Mitchell, I give him credit. He's enough of a star. I'm not getting on that plane. But he said, I will get on planes. I understand. I just needed time to process this. I give him credit. I mean, nobody should look down upon the guy. Can you imagine getting on a plane after you just had to make an emergency landing?
No, I get it.
Everybody else did.
Yeah, I can't imagine it, though.
You would do it.
I probably would, but I'd probably be scared out of my mind. I would do it because I don't think I'd have the option not to do it. Donovan Mitchell has the option. Good for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill him for it. I'm just that, you know, I don't know. People get scared, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And no, that's something you have the right to. I'm sorry. Like, that sounds terrifying. He needed a day. Take a day.
He took a day because he's Donovan Mitchell. Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon, man.
How you doing?
That awesome Mets game on just last night. You know, you really can't double team us because you can't even double team the Mets because if you do, you're going to leave an awesome shooter open. Or, you know, another wonderful drive that you can see. And that wasn't even where our greatest stars, you know, that was with a nice group of Nets. Everybody get buckets. And last but not least, man, this KD thing, I kind of disagree with you guys because it's like this man slapped KD first and he retaliated. You know, maybe he didn't say the best of words, but, you know, this Michael Rapaport, he could have kept going on or he could try to do this again. At least now, you know, we got you know, it's documented that something happened, and hopefully it don't happen again.
Yeah, got documented in the negative.
Thanks
for
man.
Him.
Yeah, and
yeah,
no,
the problem
do you think the response matched what Michael Rapaport said, that he didn't, you know, he didn't like the interview that Kevin Durant did with Barkley?
Yeah, because all Rapaport's original post really wasn't that deep. That's the only thing. Like, just wasn't that deep.
No, the caller said he wanted to get on record that he was unhappy, but look at what the record now represents. Vulgarity. Slurs that, you know, he doesn't need it. The NBA doesn't need it. The Nets don't need it.
No,
so,
no, I don't think any slurs are Jays. Not slurs, bad words.
Homophobic. It's semantics, whatever. It wasn't any racial slurs, but there could have been a
no, people, listen, there were nasty words.
Do you really want to sit here and have to dissect this on what it could or couldn't be if it didn't happen in the first place, right? I mean, so it's on record. The caller said it's on a record. Yeah, it's on a record that makes Durant look bad.
Yeah, it's
and the
not
funny
a shiny
thing
moment.
Is,
it's not a shiny moment for Kevin.
And it's a good lesson, too, because honestly, I think probably the bigger violation was by Michael Rapaport. But guess what? Michael Rapaport, really talented dude, doesn't have anyone to answer to. He's a podcaster and an actor and a comedian. You have a whole, there's so much more responsibility on KD. So yeah, people may now not like Rapaport as much or think that what he did was lame. But he doesn't have to deal with any consequences.
Kevin has so much riding on everything that he does and says. I mean, he's got a microscope on him because he's that famous. The response wasn't equal to the shot. It just wasn't. It was like somebody threw a Molotov cocktail near your house and you dropped an atom bomb on their house. That's almost commensurate to what happened. And again, if I can advise all our younger listeners, don't use the word guzzling in a tweet. It doesn't work. It never is a proper word. I mean, okay, I'm guzzling Coca-Cola. That's still not good.
Yeah,
chugging. Really, go with chugging.
Yeah, there's really not a setting in which that's what, you know, even with gas guzzling, it's not good.
No, it's not a good thing. But you know what is a good thing? The Final Four of Drop Madness.
So ready for this. This is such a big, big moment. Drop Madness. That's right. Michael said it correctly. It is officially the Final Four. And Drop Madness on the K-Show is brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Only two matchups today. We have the one seed from the K region.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Against the number one seed in the PETA region.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. The Ravens against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
Our second matchup is the four seed from the Don region.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Up against the one seed from the Nether region.
I said already, Don. It was embarrassing.
You could actually hear his uvula, like, vibrate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew, he screamed so much. It was such a beautiful scream.
But do you hear how he still, even in losing it, was containing himself?
I said already, Don. It was embarrassing.
He's Andrew. Not many people can pull that off.
He still contained it. Like I don't know if you have it in front of you, Anthony, but like Don's drop when he yells, "Take the L."
Take the L.
That's not controlling yourself. You could have ripped your epiglottis out of your throat. Like, listen to all these. Don's screaming. Listen.
Take the L. I said already, Don. It was embarrassing.
Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
But Andrew kept composure. Go vote. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. It's the final four.
Now, people misunderstand the stench.
Excuse me?
I get a lot of tweets from people. How else would you pronounce stench? I wasn't confused about the pronunciation.
But you said, how do you pronounce it?
I think I'm saying this right.
No, I think I'm saying this right because I figure who goes by the word stench? Was there,
I can't read.
Was something misspelled? Was something misheard? And guess what? Something was misheard.
Yeah, but I think Bennett was like, he played a game. He wanted to say stench from
the Hold on, play the drop again, though. It certainly sounds like you're trying to figure out how to pronounce it. Listen to this again.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in the marinade. You're on.
See, now if it wasn't about pronouncing, if it's not about pronouncing, you would have said, I think this is right. Instead, you said, I think I'm saying this right.
Right, because otherwise you would have said, is this guy's name really Stench? But you said, I think I'm saying this right.
Yeah, it's not a good look for you, Don.
In your mind, I want to know.
No. It's a bad look for me if you think that Bennett from Marinick was on the screen and I said stench.
No, I don't think that. But I think it said stench, and you said, I think I'm saying this right.
Well, because I thought maybe there's a different pronunciation. Like, why would somebody go by stench?
What could the pronunciation be? Is there
That was my question. But why would stench be an option? And considering there was no stench, I was well within my right to ask.
Early on, it looks like stench and Andrew is going to be a battle.
Yeah.
And Michael's already up big on me, which just shows that no one wants me to win these things because the Don Plowed is very funny. But, I mean, Derrick Henry is such an absolute colossal disaster for it to be eliminated. And, by the way, it's very early on. Maybe we'll see a run. You never know.
Compliments to Andrew, because really, stench shouldn't be there. I think Michael and I agree.
Well, you're wrong.
That we would have had four number ones.
No, yeah. Stench was winning before you guys lobbied. It was supposed
it
to be stench.
Win.
Sniff 'em Dead should be there. That's the essence of Drop Madness. It should be four number ones going at each other. And my streak is in jeopardy. What, have I won four straight years?
Yeah, you have a chance to lose this year.
I could not even make it to the final here. Andrew Yelling might get it. Now, I feel responsible for Andrew Yelling, so there's consolation in that.
All right, so a lot of people on Twitter are feeling frisky. Sean G. writes, I'm feeling under the weather, so I'm guzzling some hot tea. Come at me, bro. Prime writes, guzzling, isn't that the guy who works with you, Andrew Guzzling or something? So people, they're sticking up for guzzling. Migs Del Brigade said, if what KD said was in a rap verse by Flea Lord, Peter would care less. Wouldn't care less. The way KD responded, while bad, it's an everyday combo in some worlds.
Oh, we're going to go there?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, we don't want to go there because we don't have eight more hours, but it's not the way to talk. I don't care what world.
Do we have a drop, by the way, made yet for when Kay said, you got to stay away from guzzling at all costs? Really? Okay, we're not going to make that a drop, I've been told.
Really?
Yeah,
they get very, very nervous, the two of them.
But you know what that means is that they weren't in favor of him saying it in the first place, and I don't want to see my guy Michael getting in any trouble.
Right. Or they don't want to get in trouble either. All right, Michael said it once, but then you guys kept playing it. You're fired.
That's sad.
Yeah. All right, let's towel off. Do your voting, everybody, at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. By the way, I love the Carmi. They've turned the election around, Don.
You're going to win this whole thing.
I actually feel really sorry for Ernie Johnson, who's a terrific person. And
again,
McCormick,
and
he
doesn't even know that's going on.
He doesn't know. Barrett doesn't know. All of a sudden, the 15 seed is going to win the MVP of sports announcers in the entire country. And frankly, I don't even feel embarrassed about it. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, so Donnie was on KJZ today. That's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. But Alan Honnan, is it Chris Canty today?
Yes.
Chris Canty and J. Will were filling in. So Don was a guest, I think, at 8:10.
Yes.
And they were talking about, Don, like top five. Everybody's making lists now because of you. You're the list man.
That's right.
But they're talking about top five guys, New York sports stars that could get into clubs. Is that it?
No, it was Chris Canty's top five stars in New York, top five star athletes in New York. And part of the whole thing was, you know, the guys that would get into the club for free, like the star guys, the personality-driven New York, top five New York stars.
All right.
Okay. Not necessarily the best, but the stars. And here is the list. A tie for five. James Harden and Francisco Lindor. Number four, Pete Alonso. Number three, Kevin Durant. Number two, Saquon Barkley. Number one, Aaron Judge. So this morning, this was my reaction to said list.
All right, so here it is, Don on KJZ.
Lindor has not played a game in New York yet, and Harden has been here not quite as long as your introduction to me on the show.
Wow. All
right?
Wow.
That's Alonzo's fine, but not here very long. Durant, hardly been here. Saquon's hardly been here. And Judge is always hurt. I mean, I'm just wondering if Canty decided to play a little longer, would he put himself on the list? Because at least he'd have rings. He'd have a ring to show.
So wait, Don, if you were to retool that list, I mean, what would your list be?
Well, see, that's the problem. I'd find a way to put Artemi Panarin, but that's my hockey sensibility. I get that. And now that ESPN actually has hockey coming up, I won't get disconnected for having that opinion. All right. Where in God's name, Chris, is Jacob DeGrom? Because when Jacob DeGrom's trying to get in the club, they're going to ask for credentials and say, oh, wait, one pocket, Cy Young. Second pocket, Cy Young.
There's a saying that we have in baseball, Peter, that there are certain people that are very argumentative and cantankerous, and I'll apply it to Don. Don could start a fight in an empty room. He really can.
He was fighting with no one there. I mean,
right. Those were friends.
He walked into
a room and started throwing roundhouse rights for no reason.
I was making an argument.
No reason.
But why be so nasty?
Well, no. Come on, that's nasty. You want me to bring it? You asked me to be a guest at 8:10 in the morning. I'm bringing it.
You know what they should have said?
Get off our show.
That is,
Peter. They asked me to critique the list, and I critiqued it.
Hold on. Let's talk about this list for a second. Biggest stars. I don't think you can remove Harden in spite of how little he's been here. You're talking about an absolute. Well, he's an MVP. I mean,
he's
kind
of taken out of context because what I was. And first of all, Alan Hahn was phenomenal. He is such a star. It's ridiculous. He is so good. Throw him on national radio in the morning, and he's running point. Really, I mean, honestly, terrific stuff. But also, like, his whole thing was, boy, we're really bereft of stars in New York, really, because look at the guys that are stars. Harden's been here 5 minutes. Lindor hasn't played a game yet. Durant's played a handful of games. Barkley's been here 2.5 years, and Judge is always hurt. Was my point is that we really do not have any big established stars in New York anymore. Eli's gone, right? You know, he was here for a long time. He was a star. But for the most part, everybody's here like briefly or still trying to emerge. That was my point about the list. But clearly, Harden deserves to be on the list.
You know who else is missing? You know who would have been on that list?
And, Kyrie?
No, Kyrie.
Hospodar.
Well, no, Hospodar probably not. But Kyrie, yes. But we lost one 2 years ago, and that's Odell.
Right. We were talking about that on the show. It's Odell. But you can't find a way to put Jacob DeGrom there? Being the best pitcher in baseball, does that not give you some street cred? Does everything have to be how outspoken you are?
I think that's it, because he's very under the radar. He's under the radar great.
All right, but here's the thing. Outside of being a buffoon at times, what we're just talking about, Kevin Durant. He's not somebody that I don't think he reeks of cool. I mean, why is he cool? Because he's one of the best basketball players in the NBA. He's mm-hmm. no kind of leader. He went to Brooklyn and followed Kyrie. He doesn't really, doesn't have like that cool factor. Other than the fact what makes him cool is the NBA's cool and he's one of the best at it. Well, when DeGrom had the hair flowing, winning back-to-back Cy Youngs, pitching in New York, being the best pitcher in baseball, that can't be cool enough. You got to go make a rap album? You got to say something controversial? Is that what cool is?
Well, it's not about cool, though. This is just about who's a star for I mean,
listen, if Aaron Judge didn't play for the Yankees, would he be a star? I mean, he's quiet. He doesn't say anything controversial.
Well,
he does
but now
some
we're
commercials
adding
because he's a behemoth, but otherwise he's a New York Yankee with 50 home runs. That made him cool.
But we're adding all kinds of caveats. Isn't the conversation here, Michael, tell me what you think. Isn't the conversation these people walk into a restaurant, what happens?
I thought that's what the conversation was.
To me, if it's they walk
Jacob
into
Jacob DeGrom might not turn a head. He's just so unassuming.
It hurts DeGrom. That does hurt DeGrom, because if it's about walking into a restaurant, DeGrom's not turning people around. I don't know that I wouldn't recognize his face if I walked up to him.
That's a baseball problem then.
But that doesn't change the argument. And it ensures that Kyrie, KD, and Harden are all in there.
But
and then Judge is in there too.
But seriously, this is what breaks it down.
Saquon can have a meal though and go unrecognized.
And I didn't get a chance to say this on the air. If Jacob DeGrom was applying his trade to the level he does in baseball and basketball, we're not having this conversation. Because basketball is cool, baseball's not.
Also, basketball promotes its players. Baseball doesn't.
But I'm saying that's not Jacob DeGrom's fault, because really, other than James Harden have a beard, and then the way he obviously orchestrated his way out of Houston, but what other than dropping like 30 points every night, what exactly does James Harden do that makes him recognizable besides just being a really good basketball player?
Yeah, but basketball's more mainstream.
Then don't even bother putting a baseball player on the list. Now, obviously, being a Yankee can balance that out. That's why Judge is on the list. Football, that's why Saquon Barkley's on the list.
Saquon shouldn't be on the list.
I probably agree with you. So when you talk about like the when you talk about the cool or the recognizability, I think it's hard to have a baseball player there, Michael. And really, I think why Judge is so recognizable is A's a Yankee, wears number 99, and he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, Cole's not on this list.
No. Judge is the only Yankee. Judge is the only Yankee. There is no Giant or Jet. There is no Ranger, Islander, or Devil.
But this really just speaks to the level of popularity for the sports. Now, if Jacob DeGrom, if Syndergaard was as good as Jacob DeGrom, is he on the list?
Yeah, with the hair and his
yes.
Social
and so
media
what are we talking? I mean,
Syndergaard could be on the list over DeGrom.
Yeah, see, this is why the lists like this to me are. And that's no offense to Chris Canty; he's entitled to do his list. But I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm a sports guy, wow. And this is the part of the problem with sports. This is why guys like color their hair fluorescent yellow, because being a great athlete's not enough anymore. You got to do controversial things. You've got to show up to spring training riding an elephant to get attention. Now, being the best pitcher in baseball is not enough. Isn't that sad?
Let's take a brief time out. We'll reset. We'll come back at 5:00. I have a lot of good things to talk about. We'll have to talk to Jeff Passan at 5:30. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Just a reminder, everybody, the Michael K. Show is celebrating its new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April.
Oh.
$10,000. So starting this Monday in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the K Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash each weekday. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN, $500 a day starting on Monday in the 2 o'clock hour. How do you not listen? I mean, come for the entertainment, leave for the money, or stay for the money.
Now, I'm having an argument with Ballard on text, Michael. I might be joining your side on Ballard.
Oh, no.
Well, no, your former side.
I don't have a side anymore with him.
Although I think he's kind of actually in lockstep with Don, the way he's looking at this idea of stars in New York. Because he says, if you're talking about stars in New York at this moment, it should include Julius Randle. He's the guy who's bringing making the Knicks something. And I think from a play at this moment, okay, that's fair. But in reality, if Julius Randle walks into a restaurant, people might go, hey, that guy's tall. Is he a basketball player? But they don't know him.
They would know the beard.
They would know Kyrie. They would know KD.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. Opening packs of cards again reminds you, every league is filled with anonymous people. It's really wild.
Not in their own family, though.
No, in their family, they're known. But even in the NBA, every team has, what, three players who are recognizable? Maybe four if it's a great team? And in football, forget it. It's 45 people you would never recognize.
No, you know the quarterback. And then you really have to be a star to be recognized elsewhere. Like, you really have to be good. Like, yeah, you got to be J.J. Watt good.
That must be so interesting, though, when you think about, and Michael, maybe you've been around this. I mean, Yankees are different, I guess, to some degree, but there are plenty of anonymous Yankees. It's like you hang out with your buddy who's a star player on a football team, and he's getting stopped everywhere he goes. To your point, Don, J.J. Watt can't go anywhere, not even just in Houston. J.J. Watt's recognized everywhere, yet he could be out to dinner with three of his closest friends who are all on the team. And someone would say, oh, my God, J.J. Watt, who are your friends?
Now, the big news today happened right in the middle of the show. Major League Baseball has moved the All-Star Game because of the Georgia voting law. So the 2021 All-Star Game and the 2021 draft, which was supposed to be in Atlanta, is being moved. We don't know where it's going to be moved yet in response to a new Georgia voting law that critics say unfairly limits access to the ballot box, especially for people of color. Kind of a stunning move by MLB. They're being applauded. Magic Johnson tweeted out, congratulations to Rob Manfred. Newly minted $341 millionaire Francisco Lindor tweeted out, he's very proud to be part of Major League Baseball after this decision. The Players Alliance, which is an alliance of over 100 players of color, agreed with Manfred, and I think that there was a lot of pressure on Manfred that a lot of players would not show up for the All-Star Game, which would be an awful look as well. So he takes a chance following the in the steps of the NFL when they took the Super Bowl out of Arizona because Arizona would not recognize MLK Day. And then the NBA took the NBA All-Star Game out of Charlotte because of the, I believe it was the transgender laws that they were trying to institute. So Major League Baseball was in a spot right now. What do you do? And it's a difficult spot because it's not like 95% of the people agree that these are voter suppression laws. It's probably about 50-40, 55-45. So you're alienating a very big part of your fan base. And you're also punishing the people in Atlanta that those laws supposedly work against, that they might have been making some money from Major League Baseball being in town for 3 or 4 days. So it's a very complicated decision. We'll get more on this a little bit later on from Jeff Passan. He's going to join us at 5:30, but kind of a stunning decision by Rob Manfred. It had to be made quickly because the All-Star Game is here before you could blink.
I got to clear up one thing. Danny said something misleading in our conversation with him earlier when he called and said Stacey Abrams, who of course is the mastermind behind so much turning out so much vote in Georgia over the last couple of years. He said that she was against this. Her statement says, like many Georgians, I am disappointed that the MLB is relocating the All-Star game. However, I commend the players, owners, and league commissioner for speaking out. I urge others in positions of leadership to do so as well. As I have stated, I respect boycotts, although I don't want to see Georgia families hurt by lost events and jobs. Georgians targeted by voter suppression will be hurt as opportunities go to other states. We should not abandon the victims of GOP malice and lies. We must stand together. So she sort of goes on to say this is a risk that Republicans took when they made these moves, and now people are paying the price. But it's not as simple as her saying she's against what Major League Baseball did.
Again, we'll get more into this with Jeff Passan. You know, the Jet situation is something that's galvanizing a lot of people in this area, some for and against Sam Darnold. Well, Steve Young was on in KNBR. Yeah, he actually cheats on us every now and then, a station in San Francisco.
Dare he?
And he said that the Niners, who have made that big trade to move up to number three, really, really want Zach Wilson.
If they can figure out how to get Zach, that's their number one first choice. I just don't know how they get it done. The Jets have committed to Zach and recruited the family. I mean, I don't know how that gets undone, but, you know, look, a lot can happen. I think Zach would love it. The family would love it. Nothing would make anyone happier. I think the 49ers, that's their unstated first choice. So that would be wonderful. If it can happen, they'll figure it out. And I agree with you. I think he's ready to play. Now, there's going to be some growing pains and everything else, but he's ready to play. He's a settled kid. He's not going to be overwhelmed. And the way that the 49ers, the team that is going to be handed him, I believe he's kind of a generational talent. And that's more than just how he throws the football. It's just his demeanor and his capabilities. Even though he's younger, I really believe in the kid.
I'll tell you what, I don't see how the 49ers do unless the Jets fall out of love with him, because the Jets would have received all that draft capital,
right,
to move up to number two, San Francisco would. So, I mean, they could love him all they want, but I can't see him dropping down to them. I mean, are they going to put together more capital to move up to number two? That doesn't make sense.
So, with what Steve is saying, Michael, then how can that report be true that the Niners never reached out to the Jets?
Here's the thing, only thing I can think of. Saleh obviously is very tight with people in the Niners organization, and he probably told them, we're taking Zach Wilson. So that's why they didn't reach out to him, because the coach said, we're taking Zach Wilson.
All right, well, that's fine, but you're dealing with Joe Douglas. So you still don't make the phone call? That's all you go by. You desperately want this kid. He's a perfect fit for you. He's been endorsed by one of the greatest quarterbacks in the franchise's history outside of Joe Montana, right? You want him. You're ready to trade. And because Saleh says we're picking Wilson, that you don't then make the phone call to Joe Douglas and confirm this? Make him an offer? You just go, okay, we won't call. No, that can't be true. That just can't be true. They had to call. It'd be malpractice if they didn't.
Malfeasance? Yeah.
It would be malfeasance, exactly. Too. Again, unless they just feel that, you know, Saleh said, hey, this is what we're doing. And Saleh was speaking for Joe Douglas. But why not even pick up? I think it's semantics. They probably called. They didn't engage in anything because the Jets said, no, we're not trading the pick. I mean, if the Jets are, like, already romancing the family, what are we talking about here? It would be a waste of time. And if you love somebody that much, if you think that he's a transformative talent, there's no offer that could take you off of that. There's just no. The 49ers can say, listen, we'll give you 10 first-rounders over the next 10 years, and if you think that Zach Wilson's going to change the face of your franchise, it's not worth it, the trade. It's not worth it to make that trade.
No, I get it from the Jets' standpoint, but from the Niners' standpoint, you're hot for him. You're still making the phone. I'm still calling.
Right.
I'm calling up when you're walking up with the card. I'm calling.
Well, now they can't call because they've spent their draft capital to move up the third.
I'm just going by the report from Schefter that they never reached out to the Jets, because when that trade was made, we figured, all right, this locks it up. Darnold's gone. They're taking Zach Wilson because the 49ers had to call. And then I was a little taken aback when Schefter said that they never reached out. So, God, well, then maybe I guess they don't want Wilson. Now Steve Young's saying that they're hot for the guy. Are they calling the Jets bluff? But I don't know why, how it behooves the Jets to make it known they're taking Wilson if they're not taking Wilson. Because then they might have been able to actually get more for Sam if they actually thought that there was a good possibility they'd keep Sam.
Well, the bottom line is this. The Eagles wanted to move up to three, right? And the only reason they would move up to three was to get Zach Wilson. That's the part that they wanted. But they ended up trading back. So Douglas is close to Howie Roseman, and it's probably been articulated in NFL circles. The Jets are not listening to trade offers because Zach Wilson's their guy. They're not trading that pick because the Eagles ended up trading down. The only reason they trade up was to get Zach Wilson, and they knew he wasn't going to be available at three because the number two team was taking him, and the number one team was taking Trevor Lawrence. Also, why do you have to, like, recruit the parents? You pick the kid.
No, it's doing the right thing, building a relationship.
Well, I guess.
Getting
I guess
family involved,
maybe
you know.
The Chargers should have recruited Archie and Olivia.
Well, and right, exactly. There's a, you know, and listen, I don't think there was ever a situation where Wilson was not going to go to the Jets, but why this is your whole, if this works, this is a relationship you're going to have for the next 15 years. So why not just get all in on it, right?
Now let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Scott in New York. Scott?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Listen, I have to say I'm very disappointed in the Kevin Durant fine. You know, in a time of change, and we're trying to make things better and more diverse to have him find such a small amount. I think it goes to show why we have no openly gay players in any major sports. It just shows that, like, nobody really believes in trying to take care, you know, of their feelings and, you know, and what it means for them.
Scott, I think it comes down to this, probably a limit to what you can fine a player. I think it might be that, where you can't fine him like $250,000. They probably fined him the most they could fine him. Now, if it was a coach that's not protected by a union like the Players Association, he'd probably get paid, fined $500,000 for saying the same things. And if it's an owner, he'd probably be forced to sell the team. But players are protected. I mean, they are the product. They're their employees, but they're also the product.
Yeah, I don't even know what the CBA allows you to be fined.
It's probably $50,000.
Yeah.
Let's go to Justin in Bergen County. Justin.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. What's going on? Big fan.
Oh, thanks.
So I called originally to talk to Don about his ridiculous list this morning, but you know what? I'll let him be for now.
It wasn't even my list.
Don, I didn't like your points. Let me talk to Michael, though. Michael, what did you see from us yesterday, Yankees? I need your honest opinion. What did you see? What do you think is going to culminate in October?
Well, they're going to make the playoffs. I saw a team exactly what I thought I was going to see. The team that swings and misses that a lot, and when they hit home runs, they're going to win a lot of games, and when they don't hit home runs, they're not going to win that many games, and there's a lot of teams in baseball that fall under it, and I thought their bullpen pitched very well. I thought that Garrett Cole pitched very well, and they left 10 runners on base, 0-for-9 with runners. That's what I saw. I'm not going to overreact to it. That's who the Yankees are. There's a lot of swings and misses in that order, baby.
What an awful pivot by Justin, Peter. Awful pivot. He was going to go after me about my list, but instead wanted to give the age-old question to the host.
What do you think about the Yankees?
What are you going to do this year? An awful pivot. When he had a Del Frisco steak sizzling on his plate and had a marshmallow.
I thought you were going to go to Salisbury, but you went to marshmallow.
Yeah, strong.
That's how bad.
Salisbury State, by the way.
Michael, what do you think our Yankees are going to do this year?
What is a Salisbury steak, really?
It's basically
kind of like a chopped up hamburger.
And I enjoy it. It was the staple of the TV dinner.
I enjoyed it in the TV dinner. Hungry, man.
The only thing good in the TV dinner to me was the mashed potatoes.
I loved them. They were they were repugnant when you think about them, though. It was just mush. It wasn't
you had to make sure you got the brownie. That was key. Salisbury steak, important. Mashed potatoes, love mashed potatoes. Can't go wrong with that. Green beans, no thank you.
Oh, is there anything worse than a TV dinner when you get to the green beans? It's wrong.
You know what's worse? When you see somebody eating a TV dinner and then guzzling down the green beans.
Guzzling.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could do that.
Would they liquefy it first?
Yeah, they liquefy it. Let's go to Brendan in Cranberry. What's up, Brendan?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just laughing, guys, because I got two Hungry Mans in the freezer right now.
There you go. Getting a hankering?
All right, so I got two things. I'm going to have a great pivot, though. The first one is the list. I think, Don, that list would have been better if it was like the top five, guys that had like the key to the city. And it's like Babe Ruth, Joe Namath, LP, Jeter, and then you can scrap for number five.
It's awkwardly worded, right, Brendan? I'll let you make your next point. The biggest star. It probably should be like the top four or top five most recognizable athletes in New York. Right? I can't put Lindor on that list. He's got to play. I mean, does New York know Francisco Lindor yet?
No. And by the way, he could walk into a restaurant right now. No one say a word.
No, that's not true. People would know who Francisco Lindor was.
Michael, stop.
They would. He's got blue hair.
Besides, if he's wearing a hat, they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know.
Go ahead, Brendan.
All right, so the second point is, here's the Yankee thing, right? Back in the day when I was in advertising, and, you know, when it was opening day, like, you'd grab four or five people, and you'd go to a bar, and, you go for lunch. You go for your work lunch. And it was like religion, you know? You're so excited about opening day, and especially when it's your home opener. And you really, really want to win the home opener. It's just one of those, it's one of those isms about starting out in the right direction. And it was such a great ball game, really. I mean, even with the, missed opportunities. It was a tight game, a pretty clean game. And then they lose in such a spectacular fashion. I think it was just such a letdown because we were, you're so excited for opening day, especially not being back at the ballpark for a year and yada, yada, yada. Yankee fans just overreacted. And, Michael, you're right on every point about the swing and misses. I hate it. I miss small ball. I just wish we could. But you had the right guys up at the plate. What are you going to do? You win some, you lose some. You had the right guys at the plate. If Frazier hits the fly ball, how do you think he feels, about not coming through, finally getting his first start, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Frazier came through more than everybody else. I mean, Frazier got two hits. I mean, it was Aaron Judge didn't really do what he was supposed to do, and Stanton didn't do what he was supposed to do. I think the first three guys in the lineup were 1-for-18. Don't put it on Clint Frazier. He had two hits yesterday. Aaron Judge came up with the bases loaded and one out, and even said all I had to do was put the ball in the air and we take the lead into a double play. And then the ninth inning, had the players that they wanted up, they struck out. 1-2-3.
But he articulated it very well. I understand opening day is different than the other 161, right? Because it's opening day, but they gave you an effort. It was a great game. You lost.
You do lose games in baseball. It's not like football.
That's what I kept feeling. It was like, do Yankees fans think this is a football game?
Hey, how about being the Giants this morning? Up 5-1 in the eighth inning and losing 10. How about the Red Sox getting one hit through eight in their home opener against the Orioles? How would you like to be them?
Is it over
yet? 3-0 Baltimore, Peter. I saw, the Red Sox had one hit in the eighth.
No, I have it on. It's 3-0, it's over. Yeah, it's over. Orioles win. 3-0.
Let's go to Jay in the Bronx. Jay.
Don, why you just kill my boy Justin like that? He's talking facts. Yankees, baby.
Hey, Michael, how do you think the Yankees are going to do this year? I'll hang up and listen. Hey, first-time caller. Hi, Michael. How you doing? You think the Yankees have a chance to win the World Series this year? Thank you.
Get off our show.
That's how Don feels.
You'll do better.
That is like Don.
Jay,
what's
you'll
up,
do
Jay?
Better.
Jay?
That's crazy, bro. That's all I got to say. That's crazy, bro. Big fan, all right? Big
thanks,
fan,
dude.
Don. Thanks. Mr. Don Juan LaGreca, big fan.
Thank
that's
you,
crazy,
Jay.
Bro. Have a good night, fellas.
Bye.
By the way, Yep.
That's the caller's version of yep. That's crazy, bro.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.